God has something special in store for us tonight, so I'm not going to delay any longer. We're going to release Apostle Leon to preach to us, to minister to us, and just open up your heart to receive all that God has poured into him, because it's special for you. Tell your neighbor, it's for me. Now tell him it's for you. All right, at this time, give Apostle Leon a warm welcome.
Hey, glory to God. Look at somebody and tell them you're in the right place tonight. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you're in the right place tonight. All right, amen. I may ask you to interact with me a couple of times tonight. And the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 42 and 43, he says that he'll do a brand new thing. And so we're doing a new thing tonight. It's the first time I preached from up here. Amen. So they got plenty of flowers here to keep me from falling off the front. Oh, my. High platforms. I was, when the Lord moved us to Versailles, Indiana, our platform was 5 steps high. So it was 2 more steps higher than this. And I felt like I was looking down on the people, and it was never comfortable. And so I would preach as close to the edge as I could, like this. And I've discovered that you could build this platform another 20 feet out there, and the preacher would still stand with their feet off the edge of the platform. Has anybody ever noticed that? That's why you get in some churches or larger buildings, they'll build the platform, and a foot back, they have a tray in the platform, so you can't step too close to the front edge of the platform. So you can feel like your foot's hanging over. Hallelujah. Well, the story was is that I got too close one Sunday, and I slipped off the top step, and I rolled all the way down to the bottom step, and my microphone was going flap, 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 flap. Amen. When I got to the bottom, I had a half a dozen people trying to catch me and pick me up, and so I never went back up on top of the platform again, so we built a new one down on the lower floor. Amen. But we're not too high here tonight. Glory to God. It's great to be with you back in Melkhart. I was praying as I was driving into the city yesterday. Amen. Just praying over the atmosphere of the city, because there are so many things that happen in geographical areas, and there are assignments of the enemy that is released against different geographical areas. And so as I was driving in, I was just binding all the forces of hell. And I said this to myself, this is a beautiful city. Come on, this is an exciting city. And life and your city and your opportunity will be as exciting as you make it. Look at neighbors, say you need to catch up. Come on now. There will always be trials, tribulations, there will always be sorrows, there will always be all of these things till Jesus comes. The Bible says the poor will be with you, all of these things will be happening in the world always. Amen. But greater is Christ that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. How many of you know you have something to be excited about tonight? You know, and so I believe we're in a season of maybe breaking out of a place that we have been in, so that we can begin to break into, amen, a new atmosphere. Say a new atmosphere. When you just said that prophetically, if you will decree that over your homes, I just see a breaking in the atmosphere over your households and your community. Amen. And God will cause his glory, according to Isaiah chapter 62. Even though it's gross darkness all around you in your territory, yet the glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Say, oh, shine upon me. Come on. And so we need to stir our spirit, amen, with a new excitement, because I feel that we're not on the edge of a breakthrough. I feel like we've already broke through, and like the camels are coming, the horses are coming. The breakthrough is coming. It's like it is already released. It's like I can hear the sound of the horses' hooves. Come on now. They are already released. And what you do is you get excited before they get here. Come on. You know what? Doubt and unbelief will make you say, when I see it, I'll believe it. And you know, there are a lot of people waiting to see rather than just believing. Come on. And I'm here tonight just to begin to break that atmosphere, amen, that you begin to believe, to receive, that it really is a brand new day. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And behold, he'll do a brand new thing. And now it will spring forth. Look at somebody say now. Amen. He is a now God. So I believe that we have to get adamant. We have to get stirred in our spirit. Amen. And decree the now times and the now season of God. Amen. Now this is our 21st anniversary celebration weekend. I am totally, totally excited for you. Amen. This will be our 25th year celebration in Versailles, Indiana. It's our 50th year celebration for Christian International. Amen. So we didn't just start yesterday. Amen. Been pioneering for a lot of years and have grown tremendously. Amen. And you're a part of a company of apostles and prophets throughout the United States, probably well over 1,000 churches in the U.S. and probably 5,000 to 6,000 churches internationally. Amen. And so you're a part of a larger company. Everybody say a company. You say, why are you telling me that? Because sometimes you need to look outside of yourself. Come on now. So that you can relate to something bigger than yourself. Come on now. That's why when you begin to look outside of your problem, outside of your territory, outside of your job, begin to look outside of yourself, amen, amen, you can begin to connect with things that are bigger than you. Amen. And it makes you appreciative of who we are and where God has us. Amen. And so we have a great company of apostles and prophets. Amen. Celebrating in this, beginning next week from Monday. In the thriving metropolis of Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. Hallelujah. Amen. And glory is going to go up. Now, it's not just a conference of high praise. It's going to be a conference of declaration. Amen. A celebration of 50 years. Not just saying, thank you, God, for 50 years. But saying, God, you brought us to this place for such a time as this that the next 50 years are going to be far greater than the past 50 years. And we are not starting on the same level that we were 21 years ago. Look at somebody say we're on a new level. Amen. We're not starting in the place that we were when we first began. Here was helping to pioneer the church back in the beginning. But it's a new season, a new day. We're starting on a higher level. Our potential, our outreach, our contacts, the people that we know, our familiarity, our reputation, all that we have has blossomed over the last 21 years. Come on now. And you are ready today for a new marriage. Say a new marriage. Come on, you're like the bride that is ready, amen, to be enter into a new relationship of breakthrough, a new relationship of increase, a new relationship, amen, where God begins to bring in, amen, the harvest. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the harvest. Come on. I'm like every other pastor. I hope. I'm almost so tired of just transfer growth. Where somebody decides, I don't like my church, so I'll go to your church. Come on now. Or maybe I can do better in somebody else's church than I can do in your church. That's what you call transfer, when people just transfer from one place to another. But I believe that it's time for a harvest of new growth. Say new growth. Amen. That the unchurched are going to begin to come into the kingdom of God, and they're coming with fire, they're coming with fervor, they're coming with excitement, they're coming with a whole new perspective of a cultural shift. Amen. And how many of you know we have to be ready for what's coming? Amen. So I want to share with you tonight and maybe through the weekend as we have opportunity on God's next level warrior. Say next level. Amen. And as I begin to share this, I was in my prayer time, I believe it was August, just before the end of the year, and I was in my prayer time early in the morning in Indiana, and while I was praying, I heard the Lord say, next level. And so, you know, when I hear that, it's like a voice in your spirit, but it's more like a resounding on the inside of you. And I heard it, next level. And so I just kept walking and I kept praying. And then I heard him say, next level warriors. And then I asked him, what are you talking about? He says, I'm talking about a next level right where you're at. I said, what does that mean? He says, I'm not saying another level or a different level, because another level and a different level will take you from the place where you are. And you could call that escapism. The place that I am at gets so hard, so familiar. You know, I've been here so long. And if you're not careful, you can want to escape to another level or a different level. But I heard the Lord say, no, stay right where you're at, because there's a next level of breakthrough right where you're at. Say next level. As I'm speaking that right now, I'm speaking to your jobs, I'm speaking to your families, I'm speaking to your churches, your businesses. Come on, there's a next level right where you're at. You don't have to get tired, you don't have to get wearied and say, you know, I failed, God failed, everybody else failed. No, no, we're right on time, we're right on schedule. You are more positioned for breakthrough today than you've ever been in your life. Now, it may feel like the hardest place that you are in right now, but it is the best place that you could be. And the hardest place that you'll ever find is the place where you're at. Every place else is fictitious. Every place else is a dream. Every place else is a wannabe. Come on now. The white sandy beaches is Florida, just a wannabe. Until you live there. Come on now. And once you live there, now you got to deal with the sand fleas, the sand worms. You got to deal with, you know, the yellow flies, the dog flies, and the love bugs, and the all the little bugs. And when you have to live with all that, it's no fun. And guess what? When you live there, you got to work. Come on. And you know, the wage factor is a lot different. It's kind of a, you know, it's a different type of community, different part of the world. And so you got to work. You got to work hard, and it gets hot, and you get a little pay. And after a while, you find out it's taking so much time. I never get to see the beach. Why? Because the place where you're at is the hardest place you'll ever be. Why? Because that's your place of challenge. Look at somebody say, you're in your place of challenge. Come on, and say, every place else that you look at is only just a wannabe until you get there. And you say, oh God, take me back home. Glory to God. Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. God's next level warriors. When I begin to, the Lord began to speak to me about that. Amen. I've been sounding an alarm with the church, and I want to shake the atmosphere here this weekend. Come on now. We welcome you to join in and get to be a part of it, but I want to shake the atmosphere. Come on now, because the words that go into the atmosphere, they'll be speaking long after you're in bed tonight. Come on, long after I'm gone on Sunday night, and that wave will still be breaking through, that sound Monday night, that wave will still be breaking through and coming through. Amen? So God's next level warriors. Look at somebody, say, you're a warrior. Say, you're not a wimp. You're a warrior. You got power. You got authority. You got ability. You got strength. Rise up. Woo! Come on, you're warriors. We must know, amen, that we can break through in the place that we are at. So I'm going to take you to Zechariah. If you want to look in Zechariah, I'm going to hit several scriptures, but in this particular scripture, I'll paraphrase some things as I'm reading. But Zechariah 12 and 8, that's in the Old Testament. Zechariah and Malachi. Zechariah 12 and 8. In that day, the Lord. Everybody say, in that day. When you read the Bible, you need to know how to give literal translation of the scriptures as well as figurative translation. And so much of the Bible is literal, even though God uses a lot of figure of speech throughout the word, amen, to bring an illustration or to bring a truth. But this is a literal word. In that day, I don't believe it is speaking about the day that this was written. I believe it is a prophetic word that is looking ahead of time. And I believe it's looking in this day. Everybody say this day. So when we read the word, we could say, and in this day. See, God's a now God. His word is written for right now. Amen? And this word I'm breaking through with you tonight is a fresh word for right now. Right here at the rivers of life. Amen? River of life. In that day. In this day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Again, in that day in the world, Jerusalem would have been the place. But the scripture is written for this day and for this place. Say this place. So we could say, in this day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Elkhart, Indiana, and all the contiguous cities, and all those that have ears to hear that Apostle Leon is speaking to tonight. Why? Because this is a prophetic word out of the word to you. Say it's to me. And so sometimes if you're not careful, you will read the word and it will be a story to you, or it will be an account to you, but it won't have a personal application to you. And so you must learn to read the word and understand the word and give that word a place amen, of activation in your spirit. So in this day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Elkhart, Indiana, all the contiguous cities that are contiguous to it. And he said, the one who is feeble among them in that day. Say feeble. Or in other words, the one that is the weakest, the one that is most unlikely, or the one that is the most laid back, or the most that is the one maybe less desired or wanted, come on, or the one that is the most fearful, the one that is most feeble among you in that day shall be like David. Say like David. David was both king, priest. David was a warrior. David was a worshiper. David was a dreamer. David was a prophet. Come on now. David was one that knew how to hear the voice of God. And David was one that knew how to repent before God. And David was one that knew how to step beyond all the norm. Say beyond the norm. You know, we're in a season, I believe, as the kingdom, as the church, we're going to have to rise up and we're going to have to step beyond the norm. The devil would be perfectly happy if you will just be sedate, very quiet, very laid back, very, you know, uninvolved. Just wait till you retire and someday you'll go to heaven. The devil would be perfectly happy if you was just a nobody doing nothing. God, but that's not the way that the Bible describes you, the church. Come on now. The Bible described you as the army of the Lord. Come on now. As the saints of the Most High God. Amen. As lively stones in the kingdom of God. Come on now. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Come on now. When the Bible begins to describe you, amen, it's a whole different picture. But the enemy tries to paint a negative picture that will try to keep you on the bottom. Why? Because you are designed to be the devil's worst nightmare. God, you are designed to give the devil trouble. I was going to say hell on earth, but I refrained. You are designed to give the devil what he deserves. Come on now. That's eternal punishment. You need to understand that when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, Bible says that there was no more room for him in heaven. Revelation chapter 10. There was no more room for Lucifer in heaven. Lucifer was cast out of heaven to earth, not to be your tormentor, but to be tormented by the church. God, too many are allowing the enemy to torment you when you need to be the devil's tormentor. You see, apostle, if you just knew how hard it was, listen, nobody has it any harder than anybody else. Everybody has it hard. Just everybody's hard is a little bit different. Come on now. Your hard place is your hard place. You may feel like you're in a hard place, but I'm telling you, amen, that there is a higher ground for you. There's a next level for you. There's that next place for you. Amen. If you'll rise up as the army of the Lord, get your voice back. Get your want-to back. Get your zeal back. Get your passion back. Come on now. Get the glory back. Come on. Get the power of the Holy Ghost back. Ah, do a little shouting. Do a little kicking. Do something. Look at somebody, say, do something. Come on, we must break out. It's a season of breakout. So the one who is feeble among you will be like David. Look at somebody and say, you're like David. Come on now, you may not see yourself that way, but see, God does not see you as feeble. He doesn't see you as weak. He sees you as giants of the kingdom. So in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And I was asking the Lord, Father, help me to understand this. The weak among you will be like David, but the house of David will be like God. Help me, Lord, to understand this. I felt like the Lord took me to Exodus and took me to brother Moses. Now, I don't want to stay here too long, but you know, brother Moses was a man that he knew how to hear God, but like you, he went through a hard place in his life. You might say he was an orphan. You might say that he felt possibly rejected, possibly. You might say he was adopted into the household of Pharaoh and was raised in another language, was raised in another atmosphere, and was a man that was out of place and time. But the Bible says that Moses, when he became a full age, everybody say full age.
Full age.
Tell your neighbor now, you're full age tonight.
Full age.
Come on, you're not old, you're not young, you're just full age. Not full of age, you're at full age. The Bible said when Moses became a full age that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I could preach on this for an hour, but I'm not going to. But what I want you to hear is that he refused to be the son of his past. See, it doesn't matter what your past has taught you, what abuses has taught you, what rejection has taught you, what abandonment has taught you. It doesn't matter what curses has taught you. It doesn't matter what has taught you in the past. You're at a mature age, and if you'll take a step forward, come on now, you will declare, I refuse to be called a son of my past. He refused to be called a son of his past. He said, rather, I choose to follow my own people. That's why you need to know your DNA. See, I'm afraid that the church world has no concept of DNA. Because their DNA is of the Father. But I'm afraid that many have got the DNA of denominationalism. Or they've got the DNA of Christianity. Or they've got the DNA of religion. But when you understand your DNA is of your Father, come on now, you never stay in the place you're at. You're always growing, you're always going, you're always sowing, you're always moving forward. Say moving forward. If you don't understand your DNA, it will thwart your growth. Come on, it'll keep you in the place where you're at, but God has designed you to always grow and always go to another place. Come on now. That's why we have to stir up our zeal. Come on now. And when you become a full age like Moses, you say, I refuse to be called the son of my past, rather to choose the purposes and the plan of God. Woo. Look at somebody say, God's good. And so Moses steps out of his position in Pharaoh's house. A man that's projected to be the next Pharaoh. Trained in all the household of Pharaoh. Understood religions, understood tribes, understood people. He says, I'm choosing to step out of that offer. I just heard prophetically somebody in here tonight, you're needing to step out of a place that you're in and there's an offer coming to you and it would like to keep you right where you're at. But God says, no, I have more for you and I'm taking you to a higher place and you're going to know my grace like you have never known before. Whoever it is, come on, tonight's your breakout night. Come on, God does not want you to get trapped in the place that you're at. He wants you to grow and He wants you to sow and He wants you to flow in the new thing that He has for you. So Moses said, I choose to follow God. Fast forward, Moses spends 40 years on the backside of a desert. So when you make your choice, sometimes you can feel, God, did I make a mistake? Come on, after 40 years, I'm sure Moses had a lot of questions. The Bible doesn't tell us all the questions, but I'm sure he had a lot of questions because he felt like nobody. When you're going through your process, you can feel like nobody. Come on, Moses felt like nobody on the backside of his desert until one day. Say one day.
One day,
one day all of a sudden there's a fire on the mountain. Moses sees the fire and the fire is calling Moses to the mountain. And Moses, the closer he gets to the fire, he sees the miracle happening. Come on now, this is not just a forest fire. Come on, this is a burning bush that's not burning. Something supernatural here. I don't know what it takes to get your attention, but this is what it took to get Moses' attention on the mountain. Moses, as he draws near to the burning bush, the Lord speaks out of the fire and he says, Moses, take off your shoes, man. You are standing on holy ground. Look at somebody say, you're on holy ground tonight. Let's just do a prophetic act right now. I'd like for everybody to just kick your shoes off. You don't lose them. Just kick your shoes off. Come on, everybody's scared too. Nobody can see the hole in your sock. Don't worry.
Take your shoes off, man. The place you are standing on is holy ground. What are you saying, Apostle? I am saying that the river is holy ground. I'm saying that the place that God has you is holy ground. I'm saying the position He has you in is holy ground. Come on now. And it is time for you to begin to hear what is the Father saying. And guess what? God begins to speak to Moses and He said, Moses, you're here at the right time. And He said, Moses, I brought you forth for such a time as this. And Moses, tonight or today, whatever hour it was, today I am aligning you with your destiny. Come on, church, hear what I'm saying. Everything that he had went through in over 80 years old is standing before God. And he said, today I'm aligning you with your destiny. See, I just hear a prophetic word corporately to you. God says, you're not behind. You're right on time. You're right on schedule. Come on now. Everything you've been through, everything you worked through, everything that you lost, everything you had to give up, everything that was pain, everything that was shame, everything that was hurtful to you, it took it all to make you to be the man and woman that you are today. Look at somebody and say, you're not a loser. Come on, tell them, you're not a loser. God, you are not losers. You are winners. Come on now. God's got your number. God knows right where you're at. You say, how do you know? Because the Word says so. Amen. See, when you identified with Him, He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Come on now. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And I know the end from the beginning. See, God knows where He brought you to and where He brought you from, what He brought you through, and He knows what He's bringing you to. So He told Moses, He says, I'm aligning you right now, Moses, with your destiny. And Moses, you're going to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. Ah! Moses knew exactly what he was talking about because, see, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh and he's already worked with the millions of Israel. Can you see the picture? Moses' response was this, Oh God. You got the wrong person. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying you can come to such a place of nothingness in your life that you feel totally unacceptable to when God begins to align you with your destiny and God aligns you with your purpose. And when He's aligning the river here with this next 25 years, come on now, you can feel like I lost so much in the last 21 years. God, how can I ever fulfill the next 25 years? God is bringing you into alignment with your future and with your destiny. And each one that is hearing me tonight is the night of finalization of your past. Come on now. And he said, I'm opening your eyes to begin to look to your future. Moses' response to God was, God, you got the wrong man. I can't talk. I can't speak. I can't think. I can't... Blah, 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 God. How many of you would like to really think that if God appeared to you in a burning bush, I mean... God, if you do something miraculous like that for me, I know I would listen to you. Have you ever got so desperate to hear God? I've got so desperate at times, Pastor, to hear God. I've done all kinds of things. Man, I'll go to the church and I'll get the most lowly place in the sanctuary. And this house would probably be like maybe the third bench on the back row over here on this side, maybe, because nobody ever there. And I'd lay on the floor and get under three pews all at one time. I'd get to the lowliest place that I could get, just trying to hear God. I got so hungry for God one time, I took my Bible, ripped the page out of it. I know, you're not supposed to rip a dollar bill. You're not supposed to tear a page out of your Bible, but I was hungry. I tore a page out of my Bible and like Isaiah, I roll it up, I put it in my mouth and I eat it. Listen to me, listen. Nobody there but me and God. The only other people that know is you, and I'm telling you. See, when it's just you and God, you'll do things sometimes that are silly. Am I the only one? Am I talking to the right congregation tonight? Come on, y'all interact with me. Just let me know you're out there. I want to make sure you're not statues out there. I eat that. Tastes like inky, sweaty paper. Come on. I was just desperate. Put the Bible on my chest, Pastor. Just spread it and press it as hard to me as I could. I thought somehow I'd be a quick copy. Somehow, if I can just get that transfer of God. I went out into the fields of Versailles, Indiana. When you get about 200 feet away from our church building, it is pitch black and the stars are so bright. I just went out and laid in the field and I said, God, man, if you can do this for Isaiah, you can do this for Moses, you can do this for David, you can do this for Paul, you can do this for, oh God, Charlie, you can move a star for me. Come on, if anybody in here ever asked God to do something, God, just give me a sign of evidence, something, God, that will just be me and you. Come on. I was in that field for over an hour watching a star, refused to take my eye off that star. I was activating my faith. And guess what? A star started moving. Started moving. I said, oh God, maybe this is it, God. What? Star's moving. And all of a sudden, there was a little red light behind it. I'm sure Moses was desperate to hear God, and we want to be desperate to hear God, but yet when God comes and God begins to speak and He begins to outline your destiny, you say, God, you got the wrong man. You got the wrong woman. God, it couldn't be me. God, surely it is somebody else. God says, no, Moses, it is you. Come on, God done miracles for Moses. Turn his staff into a snake and turn it back into a staff and change his hand from leprosy to, amen, to healing of his hand. Now, what does it take to convince you, Moses? Let me ask you a question tonight. What does it take to convince you that you are in particular to God? You are members individually in the body of Christ. Because sometimes we see the pastors and we see the leaders and the apostles and the prophets and we see everybody else and it's little old me somewhere back here. No, 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 no. You are the cream of the crop. You're the best that God's got. The feeble among you will be like David. Finally, God spoke to Moses and he said, Moses, all right. Then Moses, you will be the voice of God to Aaron. So wait a minute. He'll be the voice of Aaron. You will be the voice of Moses. And Moses will be like God to you. See, God's speaking to us tonight. I believe not only about the feeble among you will be like David, but I believe the house of God is coming back to a new order. Come on now. I believe revival. I believe refreshing. I believe transformation. I believe new excitement is coming back to the house of God. Why? Because the voice of the God is present here in this place. He's present in your church. He's present where God has you. If you just have ears to hear, what is God saying? If I was to ask you a question tonight, how hungry are you? I just heard the Lord say to tell you, in your individual households, go home, bless your house, and begin to declare like Joshua, my house is a new house, it's a new day, old things have passed away. Come on, I'm going to that next level as a warrior of God, and I'm tearing down the forces of hell, and I'm establishing the kingdom of God in my household. Woo! Look at somebody and say, possess your land. Come on, possess the place that God has for you. Come on, your house is a blessed house. You have a blessed home. You're a blessed people. God said the most feeble among you will be like David. And David's house will be like the voice of God. Matthew 11:11, speaking about John the Baptist. Bishop writes it out, John D. Baptist. Oh, some of you didn't get it. All right. Everybody thought he had a typo on his notes when he handed them out. John the Baptist. The Bible says that there was none greater than John among all the prophets and those born of women. There's none greater than John. John's a powerful voice of God. Come on. And he's commending, he's teaching to the people and telling the people, I want you to understand the power of God that is upon John's life, the anointing, the favor that is upon John. But he said, yet the least among you is greater than John. Look at somebody say, you're greater. Come on, I begin to ask God. I said, God, what do you mean by the least? Who could be the least in here tonight? He said, if a sinner came in off the street, come on. Been on drugs, been in all types of immorality, been an ugly person. He come in and give his heart to the Lord and he turned his life over to God. He's immature, hasn't been trained yet, hasn't been proven yet, hasn't gone through any processes yet. God, how many of you know he would appear to be the least among us? See, Jesus was speaking to the same crowd of people. And he said, yet the least among you is greater than John. Now, not speaking unconditionally, because see, John was a man that knew how to hear God, obey God, respond to God, be a doer for God. You have to do something with what God has given you, but you got to come out of that basement. You got to come out of that place of lowliness. You got to come out of that place of emptiness. You got to come out of that place of your past, amen, and understand that you are the greatness of God. Stand the greatness of God. Now, there may be accusations, there may be persecutions, there may be all sorts of things that the devil is trying to bring against you, but I'm telling you tonight prophetically, you're in your greatest hour, Dr. Janet Leonard, you're in your greatest hour, come on, greater powers coming to you, more manifestation coming to you, more breakthrough coming to you, more reputation coming to you, more international travel coming to you, more outbreaking for you, more city favor with you, more governmental anointing upon you, you're in your greatest hour! Whoa, come on, give a shout to the Lord. Come on, I just sense you can get so beat down that you can't see your hour anymore and you can't see where you're at. Praise God. He gave us accounts in the Bible like Paul and Silas, come on, at their lowest ebb and their lowest place in life, beaten to a pulp, open wounds on their body, bugs growing in the wounds, dried blood on their body. Come on now, in a place of hopelessness, hungry, tired, rejected, imprisoned. Come on now, absolutely impossible. And yet they looked at each other and got a funny grin. When they looked at their teeth missing, come on now, and said, you look plums ridiculous. And they begin to laugh and they begin to make joy in the jail. Come on now. And they sing praises unto God. You know how to break out of the place you're in. Get joy where you're at. Quit looking for another place. Come on. Quit looking for something else and begin to look to the greatness of your Father God and say, God, show me your power. Show me your power, Lord. That song we're singing, show me your power, God. Go home and say, show me your power. Go to your job. Show me your power. Go to your sphere of influence. Show me your power. This is a weekend of transformation for you. I heard the Lord say to tell you that the next level in your life, your ministry, your family, and your business will be a matter of choice. Look at somebody say, a matter of choice. In other words, God's not going to make you go to your next level. God's not going to make you. Praise Him. He may make you feel like you wanted to. But see, He's not going to break your will. Why? Because whosoever, He wants you to come willfully. Willfully unto Him. You're going to have to choose to go to that next level. Unfortunately, according to Isaiah 42 and 43, there will be many that will choose to stay right where they're at. There was a lot of the house of Israel that chose to stay right in the place where they was at. But God said, I don't want you to stay where you're at. I want you to go to that next level. I want you to come to that next place that I have for you. Why? Because it's higher ground. Come on. There's fresh anointing for you. There's fresh breakthrough for you. There's healing for you. Come on now. Woo! There's transformation for you. Look at somebody say, it's ours. Come on, it's ours. But see, we have to learn to possess. See, next level warriors know how to possess. Come on, you don't just be wimpy and moan and groan and cry about what's been hard. It's all been hard for everybody. If I looked at Las Vegas tonight and they're weeping and they're crying at the sound of death of multitudes of families from Las Vegas, it's a hard place. But isn't as hard as that place in the place that you're in is a hard place. And God cares about the place that you're in. But He said, my grace is sufficient for all of your needs. Come on now. And I have a next level. I pray you're getting a revelation in your spirit, a determination in you. I'm making a choice tonight. I refuse to stay where I'm at. I refuse to be called the son of my past. Come on now. I choose rather to follow the will and purpose of God. How many of you want to follow God tonight? See, Jesus asked that same question. But He said, if you really mean it, then pick up your cross and follow after Me. See, I'm afraid that in America, unlike many of the nations of the world, there's such an independent spirit. Come on now. There's such a provision. There's such a resource. There's such a ready-made plan in place. Come on, that people can survive, whether they're obedient, whether they're faithful or not. But you get into the nations of the world, you just die. Because you don't have that same provision. I'm afraid that it has softened a lot of people in the world, but it shouldn't be that way in the church. It shouldn't be that way in the kingdom. Why? Because we have the message of the kingdom of power, the kingdom of light. Come on now, the kingdom of eternity. We have the kingdom of hope. We have the kingdom of restitution. So that next level in your life, your family, your ministry, your businesses will be a matter of choice. And you're going to have to choose to go to that next level. I heard the Lord say that what you choose will influence who will you be, who you will be, and it will affect all that you will do and be for the rest of your life. Look at somebody say, choices are important. I've made a lot of wrong choices in my little 74-year-old years. I've made a lot of wrong choices. How many of you have made a few wrong choices? Another way to describe wrong choices is 20/20 hindsight. That means been there, done that, not going to do it again. How many of you have done something you know you're not going to do it again? Come on. So we're making a choice. God, we're making choices to follow after You. You become a sum total of your choices. You know, in raising our children and our grandchildren and now our great-grandchildren, I'm watching our children grow and I'm watching them go through the phases of life and all the situations that they're going through, and it's calling back to remembrance a lot of things. I'm watching the church, come on now, and baby Christians and people at different levels in the church. I've been at that age, I've been at that place, and I can remember what I was going through and I can remember what I was battling, come on now, and I'm glad that I'm on this level, but now I have a whole new challenge. Come on. You will always have a challenge in your life, but there is a next level of grace, a next level of breakthrough. You, I pray that you not level out, that you not just quit, that you not give up. Come on now, that you don't choose to stay where you're at. God, I'm choosing to follow You all the way, God. God, when I signed for this assignment, I chose to follow You all the way. Look at somebody say all the way. Come on, when you say all the way, it costs you something. Oof. My wife and I got married 55 years ago. 55 years in July. Had some young people from Bethel in California that wanted to meet with me and talk to me. They wanted to get some wisdom as young prophets. One of the questions, Dr. Janet, was, how have you managed to be married this long? Now see, it's a foreign thing to the generation today to be married that long. Come on. Today, they might be married 55 before they may be together 55 before they get married. I hear the Lord saying, from this time and forward, from now on, if you will allow Me to and you will cooperate with Me. Say allow and cooperate. If you will give Me the right, if you will allow Me to and you will cooperate with Me, I will restore your dream. Say, He'll restore my dream. And I heard Him emphatically speak in my spirit. And He said, I'm not saying that I will redo your dream or that I will give you a different dream or another dream. I won't alter your dream. But he said, I will restore your dream. In other words, that thing that you think that failed, that thing you think that didn't work, come on now, that thing that you laid down, that thing that you walked away from because of impossibility, God said, I'm able to restore your dream. Come on now, I'm able to do more for you in this season than in the past season. Come on now, every day is greater with the Lord. Every promise is greater with the Lord. He said, if you'll just lift your sights higher, I'll bring you to that next level and I'll restore your dream. Dream. Look at somebody say, get your dream back. Come on, as I've traveled around our nation, unfortunately, what I see in the church world at large, I just came back from Dallas, Texas, and come from over near Detroit the week before, and I don't know where all I've been, but anyway, regardless of where we're at, it just seems like people have lost their dream and they're walking in a place of dizziness or a place of depression or a place where they feel lost. And God, where are we going from here? Come on, you're going farther in God. His word has not changed. Come on now. His call has not changed. His purpose has not. He changes not. Come on now. But things in life will change. You cannot be moved by what's changing around you. Church, we cannot be moved by all of the evil and all of the idiocy and things that are happening in our nation. We cannot be moved by all of the breakout and all of the hate groups and all of the situation. We cannot be moved by the media and all the things that we must be moved by the Word of God. We must be moved by the will of God. We must be bound to the purpose of God. He said, I'll not alter or change your dream, but I will restore your dream and I will put your feet into new streams of life with new opportunities and I will put an end to all of the strife and everything that the enemy has tried to bring against you. Can I break strongholds of strife right now? Come on, just raise your hands with me, would you? In Jesus' mighty name. God, I take authority over every spirit of strife and its assignment to bring division. God, to bring disappointment, to bring depression, to bring oppression. Oh, God, to bring anxiety. Oh, God, to bring division, to bring confusion, to bring fear. I break the assignment of strife now. And I say, get off of the people of God. Get out of this house. Get out of this city. Get away from their business. Get away from their family. God, set them free tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Bando Revekete. Come on, can we give a shout to the Lord? Can we give a praise to the King? Come on, He's worthy of our praise tonight, church. I believe if you ever shouted unto God, this is the time that we need to shout it out. Isn't there a song about shout it out? Something about shout it out, shout it out. Seemed like I heard it somewhere. God said, I'll give you new themes of revelation. Say new revelation. God, in other words, God says, I'm going to take you some places you haven't been before, and I'm going to equip you some things you haven't had before, and I'm going to reveal myself to you in a way that you've not known me before, and you're going to see the greatness of God and the manifest power of God and the manifest presence of God. I just see like a fresh wind blowing over this place. I don't know what you're feeling out there, but I know what I'm seeing from up here. Come on now. And I haven't seen it before. Maybe it's because I'm on the upper platform. I don't know. But I just see a glory cloud, amen, coming down over your life. Come on now. It's not going to stay here. Wow! You're going to take it with you. Hallelujah. Wherever you're going, take the glory cloud with you. Take it with you, Apostle Ron. Come on. The glory of God is falling down upon you. And now is your time of transformation. Now is your time of change, says the Lord. I heard the Lord say, I'll give you new themes of revelation. Just lay your hands on your minds, will you? You see, you need to understand. You know what? I'm afraid we've been trained as the church just to come and hear from the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But see, there's a place that God wants to talk to you. See, God wants to literally speak to you. And He'll speak through His prophets and He'll speak through us, but He'll speak through His Word. He will speak to you. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Father, I charge their minds right now. I activate the cells of their spiritual brains within them. Oh God, that they will be activated, that they will hear, they will receive, they will respond, and they will go, and they will do, and they will fulfill, and they will overtake, and they will take back, and they will grow, and they will soar like the eagles in Jesus' mighty name. Get that prayer. Listen back over that prayer. Pray it in your bed at night and hear the voice of the Lord. I'll give you new themes of revelation that will release a desire for more preparation. Say more preparation. I know, prophetically, we know a lot about the end times. But you know, the Bible's pretty clear that the day, the hour will come. That even if it were possible, the very elect among you will be deceived. What's that talking about? False doctrine. False teaching. Lies of the enemy, control, manipulation, fear, bondage will try to deceive, and people, because of fear, will follow. False doctrine. See, God's not called you to be that way. He's called you to be lions. Fearless. Willing to go wherever He says go. Do whatever He says to do. See, there's a season when God said, I'm bringing my mighty warriors out. Come on now. I'm taking you to that next level. Come on now. You're not going to fight this next battle, my brother, like you fought in the past. You're going to fight a new way. Say a new way. I heard the Lord say to tell you that we will see God's angel warriors in heaven and joining with God's warriors on earth. Amen. To rock the nation and the nations of the world. Look at somebody say, you're going to rock the nation. Now, God's going to use you to turn some things upside down. When you get on fire, brother and sister, and you let the fire of the Holy Ghost flow through you, you will be amazed at the doors that God will begin to open up to you. Look at somebody say, it's our time. I'm going to try to bring this to a closure. In eternity. I heard the Lord say, dream big. Look at somebody and say, dream big.
Dream big.
Say, break out.
Break out.
Okay, I'm telling you, the devil will try to destroy your dream to keep you in a place where you are at. And God says, no, I want you to begin to dream again. Let me give you a definition of dream. One definition of many. It means to conceive or devise as by giving free rein to your imagination. Say, free rein. In other words, if you're able to think it and you're able to dream it, God's able to do it. So you have to ask yourself a question. Why am I not dreaming? What has happened? What have I been through? What have I come through that tried to rob me of my dream along the process? And because of my past, come on now, I'm unable to dream of my future. And all of a sudden you have a shift in life and you're living out of your past rather than living out of your destiny. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying you can come through such hard places and through such narrow places and it can bring you to a mindset of impossibility, which is contrary to the Word of God, because He said with me, if you will only believe, all things are possible. Will you say that with me? All things are possible. That means there is nothing in your life, nothing you're experiencing, nothing you're going through, no position yet. But Apostle, if you just knew, and you knew what the doctor said, and you knew what medical science said, if you had just understood what I've been through and everything that I tried, you'd understand why I have to come and just come to the place I'm at. And I can honestly say, I do understand all of that, but I can't believe it. You may understand it, but what am I telling you? You can't believe it. Come on, if you receive it, then that means you're believing that. But God said, with me, all things are possible. And if you will only believe. But Apostle, I've already believed and it hasn't happened. I'm just here tonight to remind you, amen, that you are positioned and set up for your greatest breakthrough, your greatest miracle, your greatest evidence of the signs of heaven being activated in your behalf. Look at somebody say, this is your time. God, see, sometimes you'd be afraid to say, this is my time, because the last time I said that, it didn't happen. What is happening with all that? You're shifting back to your past. Come on now. And your past is dictating your future. And said, because it didn't happen here, it can't happen there. So we quit believing here and we choose to stay here. God, I know I'm preaching to me as I'm preaching to all of us in here tonight. I'm just preaching the Word of God tonight. Come on now. I believe His Word is true, and it's yes, and it's amen. Come on now. But God's wanting to give free rein back to your imagination, that you begin to dream again, and you will dream big, and you'll start dreaming outside of the limitation, outside of the box, outside of the place that you have been in. I pray that you're listening to me tonight. The church has lost its dream and its ability, desire to dream, because of past events. This year, God wants to remove the restrictions that present limitations. Say limitations. So I'd have to ask you, what is the limitation? Come on, that you are confronted with, because that limitation will try to be a dictation to you, and it will try to dictate to you the impossibilities. And all of a sudden that becomes stronger than the voice of God. See, I need next level warriors are going to hear the voice of God. Come on, Paul the apostle said, I may have been knocked down, but I tell you what, I'm getting back up. I may be in bonds in prison. I may be beaten, torn, but I'm going to laugh and I'm going to have joy. Come on now. I may be looking at the next 3 years in prison, but I'm going to write more books. Hallelujah. And I'm going to send more apostles. Come on. You have to have a mindset. Said, come on now, that these chains cannot hold you. Look at somebody say, they can't hold me. God, I want to release a determination in you. You may be confronted with a situation in your life, and that is one thing, but I'm just telling you, the Word of God is greater. His Word is bigger. His Word is mightier. His Word is true. His Word overpowers. His Word turns it around. His Word brings a kingdom shift. His Word activates faith. His Word brings miracles. His Word brings breakthrough. It's a lamp unto your feet. It's a grace unto your spirit. It's a joy unto your soul. It's a light of the kingdom that lights up on the inside of you. Come on, the Word of God. There's nothing greater than the power of the Word of God. His Word is not forgotten. Wow! I just heard the Lord just say to tell you, the devil is under your feet, not His Word. His Word is over you. His Word leads you. His Word is for you. His Word directs you. But the enemy is under your feet. I'm afraid some people have got the Word under their feet. Whew. Oh, I hope you invite me back next year, Pastor. This year, God wants to remove the restrictions that have put limitations about your ability to be able to dream. Let me just share a little story with you, and I'll close with this. I was in Nashville, Tennessee. Whew, I got new glasses. I was measuring those steps carefully. Hallelujah. There were four of them down there. I knew there. And he's an older gentleman. And there was probably about 500 people or so sitting all the way to the back. I couldn't really see his face. I could just see a shadow. But I identified him and he stood up. And I normally don't have everybody come to the front just for time's sake. It would take us another 20 minutes tonight if everybody would have walked to the front. I've learned that finally. But he just got up and walked to the front. That was okay too. But he come up to the altar. It was taking him so long to get from the back of the crowd to the front. I called somebody else up and ministered to them while he's coming to the front. So when he got to the front, I began to speak a word to him. Now let me just help all you prophets and people understand this. When you prophesy, elder, when you prophesy, you don't remember everything you say. I can guarantee you we are not that smart. When we prophesy, it is by the Spirit. It's from here to you. I may have a couple thoughts of what was said, but I could not repeat. I couldn't tell you what I said. And I have people come up to me, continue, Apostle, and they'll say, Apostle, man, you give me a word 20 years ago. I was listening to it on the way to church this morning. And you remember when you said, I said, absolutely. We don't remember everything we say. But on the other hand, if we say something we've not said before, we know it. So if something comes out of my mouth, elder, that I've not spoken before, I know this is something different. And the Lord spoke something different to that gentleman at the altar. And here's what the Lord told him. He said, don't judge your future based on your age. And I'm wondering in myself, you know how you do. I'm wondering myself, God, what are you saying this for? He said, because your age will dictate to you what you're able to do and what you're not able to do and how much time you have to do and rather what you want to do. He said, don't let your age put a limitation on you. Amen. Well, I may be 74, may have prostheses, knees, may have, hallelujah. Well, at least I don't have false teeth. But I don't have to let age be a limitation. Bishop Hammond, 83 years old this year, come on now, is going as hard today as he did when he was a younger man, and he's reaching out for that Caleb anointing. Come on now, I'm just merely telling you, don't let your age, don't let the place you're at in life, don't let it be a dictation over you and keep you in the place you're in. And the Lord spoke to him, he said, and don't let your physical condition have a dictation of what you're able to do for me. Because your body will talk to you. Your body says, I have pain. Come on now. Now like in the last 2 weeks. Ooh, for some reason in my shoulders. I just think I need more exercise, Zelda. I thought I'd done enough of this, but I guess I don't have enough weight in my hand or something. But my arms hurt. My shoulders hurt. Come on. And then you can get into a place where your arm doesn't want to move. Oh, I know what it was. In the last 3 weeks, I've not had a headset. I've had handheld mics and mics with cords and not state-of-the-art mics. They're heavy old mics. And my arms were getting sore from holding microphones for 2 and 3 hours at a time. Come on, 4 and 5 days out of the week and holding microphones, your arms start getting tired. But I'm just saying your body will talk to you and say, oh, you can't bend over. Oh, you can't. Ooh. Your body will tell you everything you can't do. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying, break out. Come on now. Don't succumb to the limitation. Amen. Be obedient and do what's wisdom and do what you know is right. Come on now. I'm not telling you to quit your medication. I'm not telling you to do anything foolish. I'm just telling you, God is bigger. Come on, if you're not careful, life will become an excuse for you not doing what God has called you to do. And then I heard the Lord speak to him, and he said, don't let your financial provision be a limitation of how you're able to help build my kingdom. Don't judge what you're able to give based on your social security, based on your retirement, based on your bank account, based on your hourly wage, or based on your weekly paycheck, or how much money you have in your savings account. He said, don't let that be a limitation of how you can build my kingdom. And I heard the Lord say, tell him, I don't live there. God does not live in the negative. He lives on the outside of that. Come on now. And he said, my thoughts and my ways are much higher than your ways. Come on now. He wasn't telling you that. Amen. So you could stay where you're at and say, God's smarter than me. He said, no, you're my son and you're a joint heir with me. And what I'm able to do, you're able to do more of. Jesus said, the works that I do, greater, 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 greater than these works will you do. Look at somebody say, greater. Said, I want you to come out of that place of low thinking and small thinking, and I want you to come up to my way of thinking, says the Lord. Come on now. I'm able to heal your body. I'm able to deliver you. I'm able to set you free. I'm able to give you strength right where you're at. Listen, whenever you dare to move out for the things of God, I've heard testimony after testimony of pain in people's body, but yet when they give themselves to the Spirit, there's not a pain in their body. There's not a stutter in their voice. Come on now. And the powerful anointing is upon them. And they walk away from there feeling the same way. I don't know how to explain all of that. Don't even want to try to explain it. My message to you is don't let limitations be a dictator over you and keep you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. Don't succumb to it. Don't give up into it. Rise above it. It's a new day. I want to break spirits of limitation off of this congregation tonight. Will you please stand with me? Just stand. I'm going to give this back to the pastor here in just a moment. But let's don't move. Let's don't lose this minute right here. Amen. For just a second. If you have a soft song you can put on back there, sound man, that'll be great. But listen. Amen. Can we just slide across the building and join hands? Just move out of your row. Join him. Let's all make connections. This couple over here, make connection here. She can't get out of the place that she's in, so come to her. Amen. Right behind you. There's somebody making the connection right now. We're making the connection right behind you, Brother Toby. Just turn around, Brother Toby, and grab the other hands behind you. That's it. Just make connections. And brother here, turn around here and grab their hand. The line will stretch. Everybody stretch out, pull out. Amen. God, as I come into this place tonight, I'm not here just to preach a loud message. I'm preaching hard because I can't say enough of what I'm trying to say. I can't be passionate enough to get it out. I can't be angry enough at the devil to be able to demonstrate. God, you are greater. Your power is greater. Your love is greater. Your grace is greater. You are greater tonight, God. Fathers, they're joining hands across this congregation tonight. I release the word activation. And I activate a word of deliverance in them right now. That will deliver them from any spirit of limitation. Whether it's been physical, financial, relational, spiritual. Their bodies, whatever it has been that the devil's tried to use as a limitation. I'm just hearing the word spiritual giants that are standing in front of me right now. That your God is able. Your God is able to heal you. And Father, I release and activate that healing, balm of Gilead right now. Oh Lord, just begin to flow from the youngest to the oldest. God, from the greatest to the least right now in Jesus' mighty name. God, you are no respecter of persons. God, let faith begin to arise right now. Let faith arise. Faith arise right now. Reba Shikaba Balamo Vosandai. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, would you? Let faith arise right now, God. Oh God, you're able, Lord. Oh God, you're able to bring transformation, God. You're able to transition them. You're able, oh God, to deliver them, to heal them. Right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I break every spirit of limitation. Limitation of age. Limitation of money. Limitation of physical conditions. Limitation of knowledge. Limitation of relationship. Limitation because of abuses and misuses. Limitations because of devastation. God, whatever that limitation was coming against them, oh God. Lord, I break the stronghold of it right now. God, you said those that you make free are free indeed. Lord, I know everyone standing before me right now is free by the power of your blood. God, they are not limited to what people say. They're not limited to word curses. They're not limited to, Lord, to all the acclaims of a doctor. Lord, they're not limited, oh God, to their medications. They're not limited by their lifestyle. They're not limited by the time. They're not limited by their ignorance. They're not limited by their lack of education. God, you simply said, with you, if we believe, all things are possible to those that believe. Lord, I decree right now that we are believers. We are receivers. Your grace is more than abundant, more than bountiful. Your grace is more than able right now. In the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer of all of our wounds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Give the Lord a praise offering, can we? Look at somebody and tell them you're healed. Look at somebody and tell them you're healed. Tell them you're free. Come on. Tell them it's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new grace. It's a new faith. Come on now. You can wake up tomorrow and begin to make a new decree. You don't have to live out of yesterday. Yesterday is over. Before the service is over, during the service is over, you just entered into your future and into your destiny. It's a new day. You can't fail. You have no failure. You are cleansed, clean, and healed. Come on, give a hand for Dr. Janet. Woo!
Glory to God. Hallelujah.